One of the great mysteries of all time is how to unpack the chait, the misstep of Adam and Chava, the first error. And that's something we're going to get to a little bit today in the context of our discussion here in the Ali Shur. Let's pass this around so everybody can sign in so we'll know who's coming and going, please. Just take the pass. We're going to finish up now chapter 6 here in the Shar HaRishon. So to get to this understanding of the episode of Adam and Chava, we start with the basic premise that we are a composite. We are a body and a soul, and we are what we called last time godless hamochin. We have the potential for greatness. We also have the tendency towards smallness. And the idea that somehow the pursuit of imagination, of koach hadimyon, is one which relates primarily to the more physical, material aspects of life. Whereas we don't have this imaginative desire off the bat for more spiritual accomplishments. And that's what we meant when we said that we have to be boreach from the Yetzer Hara because it's chasing us. And Rav Volbe explained that was this koach of dimyon, of imagination. But at the same time, when a person does have a beautiful, profound, meaningful spiritual experience, when we have that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's uniquely fulfilling. And so once we get that train going, we can come back to it and strengthen that connection. But it takes some getting going, so to speak. So there's this constant tug of war between the koach hadimyon, the natural physical pull that maybe takes us down or narrows us or makes us heavier, versus the inner light that draws us higher. And that when we tap into it is nourishing, but we have to break through to that. It requires effort and breaking out of inertia. So we're going to start on side A, line 1, where we start the second section now. Me'ata pnuya haderech lebechira shkula bein tov v'ra. Now we have an even choice that is before us between tov and ra, that is which is good and redeemable versus things which are not. We have extras floating around. Okay. What do we have? Go to line 3. Eich yeha adam shokel b'mashu mahu yivchar. How do we weigh what we're going to choose, what kind of life we're going to lead? Hara mosheich, that which brings us down, it's mosheich, it draws us, unfortunately. More sheets right there, and the sign-in sheets should be going around. I don't know if it went this way yet, but it'll get there. The hatov, the good, the light, ain't a mosheich. So, v'hatainug sheva mitzvot shu hatainug amiti, on line 4, the enjoyment of mitzvot, that is true enjoyment, od lo tami yamav, we don't necessarily have that pre-existing experience, we haven't tasted it yet. So what do we need to do? Ulefi eze shikul hu yivchar havei omer, line 5, hu tzarich lehavchin bein emes ubein sheker. We haven't had that experience yet of, it's so geschmack, it's so wonderful, it's beautiful. We're just getting out of the gate, we're starting our day, we're starting our week. So how do we decide? What tools do we use through which we can measure our decisions? So he says, it's through the decision lens, that frame of MS and Sheker, of what is truthful and what is untruthful. Truthful to what? So you could argue, truthful to our inner selves, to our neshama, to our purpose in life. What is mission aligned spiritually? What connects us to our deeper selves, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our neshama, and what is false, what doesn't really connect us. When we're making decisions, thinking through the prism of emes and sheker, that's going to enable us to make this call. Because if it's about the subjective feeling, well, those feelings are biased. They're not objective, because the internal dimyon, the imagination, is drawing us to something material, something physical. So now, what is the way? What's going to be the tool that we use to discern between emes and sheker? What do we need to use? Our intellect. Mi yavchin, line 5 in the middle, haseichel hayashar. Seichel means the intellect, the cognitive, the mindful. And it's not just seichel, not just the mind, but it's seichel hayashar. What does yashar mean?
Straight.
Because very often we self-delude. We delude ourselves, right? We corrupt our seichel, and it no longer is that beacon of integrity to guide us in the right way. You need seichel, but not just stam seichel. You need seichel hayashar. That's what he says here on line 7. Kishe'eino mishuchad. What's one of our challenges in life? That our seichel, our intellect, is mishuchad. The word shochad means, it means bribery. When our seichel, when our intellect is bribed, it's mishuchad. Bakasha, should still be more sheets floating around somewhere. Okay. When our seichel is mishuchad, we can't say, and he has a great line here, in line 7. Oy vavoy, woe! Oy vavoy l'seichel, to the intellect, im hadimyonos mishachadim oso, that our imagination, it bribes us. Umoshkin oso litzidam laha'arich, it pulls us to the side. Laha'arich means, erech, means to value. To value, we're on side A, line 8, es hanos sheba avera yosem ha'tov sheba mitzvah, the enjoyment of an avera, going down that rabbit hole, more than the goodness of the mitzvah. He quotes a piece here now from the Chovas Halavavos. Skip down to line 18. Have Omer, we learn from this, habechira ha'amitis, the true choice for ourselves, tuluya bezakus haseichel ubechozko. We need two aspects. We need the zakus, the purity, zach, like shemen zay zach. It has to be, our seichel needs to be pure, unadulterated, but also chazak. We are influenced all the time by advertisers, by the media, by our friends, by our past experiences, by our own internal calibration of our qualities. Some people have more of a teva, of an inclination for certain things, and others for others. For some people, patience is a struggle, and for some people, not eating too much peanut butter is a struggle. You know, everybody has their challenge. So being strong, so what is he explains again, zakuso, going to line 19, Laval Yeshuchara Secha Midimyonos Avera, that we shouldn't be blinded by the imagination of the Avera. Vechosko, and the strength, Laval Yeh Rafe, we shouldn't be weak, Umisupak Bahakaraso. What does this bring us back to? A theme that we have talked about so many times, self-awareness. Shochad, the Pasuk says, the Torah describes that when a judge takes shochad, it's ya'aver einei chachamim. It blinds a person. It doesn't enable a person to see accurately. And the challenge of Shochad, the Gemara says in Ksubas, is that not only does it corrupt a person's ability to judge, it even plays with our self-awareness. Because Shochad, it's so pervasive, it's so pernicious, we don't recognize that it's happening. So the Gemara says, even if a person received Shochad and they didn't think that it tainted them in any way, they have to be concerned that it tainted them. Because the thought that we have that we're not tainted, our self-awareness, is now compromised through Shochad.
What's the word
Shochad? Shochad means bribery.
Okay.
Right? When we receive a favor for somebody, we might even, it might be in our subconscious that we feel indebted to them or somehow connected to them. So Kal Vachomer, certainly when it comes to our own emotional makeup, how susceptible we are to Shochad, to our own bias, how difficult it is to have that Seichel HaYashar, how much work we have to do to step back and say, what's really right here? I know I'm feeling, and be aware of the fact that I'm feeling biased toward this person, or I'm feeling biased away from that person. So how do I nurture it? How do I cultivate that balance? It's very difficult. So he says, what is the source of all of this? This whole issue? HaMakor, line 22, Hu Bechet HaRishon. This brings us back to Adam and Chava. I don't think this, let's send it to the other side.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let's just pass it all the way across. It goes back to Adam and Chava. Ah, why? Because when Adam and Chava... Oh, sorry. All right, just pass it. When Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Gemara has an expression, Keshebo nachash al Chava hitel bazom, zuhama. Somehow the snake injected zuhama. Zuhama literally means filth. I guess also you can imagine, like, imagine the cloud of an octopus, right? It's like a liquid that spurts out and it clouds the area. So Ravolbi says, how do we interpret this zuhama? It means many things on many levels, especially on a deep Kabbalistic level. But Ravolbi says, based on what we're saying now, we actually understand it very well. All of a sudden, by being drawn after the dimyon, the imagination of what this fruit must taste like, or how appealing it is, the chisava hu la'inayim, the pasuk says. The Rambam says, and that's what he quotes here in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam says that before the chet of the Eitz Hadas, how did Adam and Chava discern, how did they evaluate situations in life based on emes and sheker? What was truthful and what was untruthful? Was it aligned with their mission or not? But it wasn't a struggle that was internal. It didn't affect their subjective perspective. It was objective. It was red or black. Either it was or it wasn't. But once they engaged in this dimyon and ate from the Eitz Hadas, now they internalized that zuhama, that confusion, or what we would say now, that shochad, that bribery, the dimyon, that appeal of something seductive and physical now enters into the calculation. And that's the challenge that we, each one of us, is going through. Because now it's hitel bazoama, it's internal. So sometimes we don't even know whether we have a seichel hayashar anymore, right? Because it's hard to know whether we're tainted based on our experience and what's been happening in our life. This is the challenge of Bechira, that we're striving to raise ourselves up. Take a look at the next page. Go over to side B. We're not sure. There's confusion. However, go to line 9. What happens? Line 9. Amnam. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Yisrael she'amdu al har Sinai paska zu hamasam. When the Jews stood at har Sinai, pasak means it ended that zuhama. What does it mean that the zuhama, that poison or that ink of the squid, it evaporated from them? What happened at har Sinai? They had such clarity. It was truthful or untruthful. It was unbiased, unvarnished perspective. So they're standing at Sinai. There's no more internal confusion. There's no more bias. There's no more internal bribery. It's just God and me. It's just what is important, what does my neshama see, and nothing else. The problem is, what happens 5 minutes after har Sinai? What do they do? That's right, the golden calf. So the golden calf, now they fall down again. But the good news is that even though they fell down through the golden calf, A, they didn't fall quite back to the way that Adam Arishan was initially and Chava, but B, now we have a way, we have a means, we have a mechanism to help us to go back to the time before the confusion. And what is that? Har Sinai. It's interesting that there is a special commandment, there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Maimar Har Sinai. It's not a, there is a separate issue in Mishnah talks about Pirkei Avos that's very serious about not forgetting Torah that we learn. But there is a separate issue, separate from not forgetting learning, there's a mitzvah, according to the Ramban, it's an actual biblical mitzvah, of Zechiras Maimar Har Sinai. Remembering the Sinai experience. Not remembering the Torah we got at Sinai. Not remembering each of the Ten Commandments, which is a good trivia thing to know. I'm not saying it's not a good thing to know that. We should remember that. But what does it mean that we remember the experience at Sinai? So maybe in light of what we're saying, what happened to us at Sinai? We had clarity. We weren't confused. We weren't self-deluded. There's a great book, I think it's called the Arbinger Institute. It's a leadership group, and they have a book about leadership and self-deception. And it's about how a person can deceive themselves by being in the box. That's what they call it, being in the box. You're in the box or you're out of the box. When you're in the box, you are self-deceived. And we make all kinds of mental contortions to justify what we're doing because we're in the box. We decide not to help that person, not to get out of bed, not to make that phone call, and then we start justifying it. And then we start creating a whole narrative around that decision because we're explaining what we did, right? People are nodding. We've all been in this box before. That's the box of self-deception. That's the nachash. That's the dimyon that's gotten into our heads. That we've got to get out of the internal box in our own head. Leadership and self-deception. Seichel, that's yashar, that's zach. That's so difficult. So what do we go back to? The experience of Maimon Har Sinai. Learning Torah, but more than learning Torah, or in addition to learning Torah, it's the reminder that the experience of being engaged with Torah, of connecting to Hashem, the more we get back to that root of that experience, the more we cut through all of the confusion and we can make balanced decisions based on emes and sheker, just like it was, or as close as we possibly can get to the way it was before they ate from the Eitz Hadas. Before they internalized that confusion, before we started the struggle with, am I in the box or am I out of the box? In the box, out of the box. Am I deceived or am I not deceived? The experience of Sinai brings us back to a place before we were self-deceived. And that's even a practical mahalach. When we think about this decision, is this decision in consonance with a Sinai experience? Is that the kind of person, that's the kind of decision, that's the kind of perspective that I want to take? That's the equalizer. Some people actually, every day after davening, say six zechiros, six things that they remember. One of those six is remembering the experience of Sinai. So remembering the experience of Sinai, part of that is remembering that there is a frame through which we can look at our life that's pre the confusion, pre the box, pre the self-deception. So now, says Rav Volbi, to summarize, and this ends the chapter. Go to line 15. See, this week we have the numbers. It's much less easy. It's good. L'sikum, summary. Yesh shivui mishkal lebechira bein tov l'ra. There is a balance in the weight between good and bad. Hayetzer tov, that noble part of us, hu haseichel, it is the intellect, v'kochosav, and its strength, asher shorsho, that its root is b'neshama. Hayetzer hara, line 16. Hema dimyonos, the Yitzhara are the almost hallucinations, the imagination, hakshura b'taiva, that is connected to the desire, taivos shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lev ha'adam, hadrushim l'kiyam ha'olam, that is necessary for us to sustain the world. If we didn't have any interest in eating, we would shrivel up and die. If we didn't have any interest in reproducing, we wouldn't have a future. So they're necessary. Olam umos ha'olam, himtziu ta'anugim shein pri dimyon levad. Others, taking away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, create an independent value of these enjoyment, b'likesh l'kochos achiyunim, that's not connected to the core value. Hadimyon, our imagination, could mosheichu b'fatal avera, and even take us away from a mitzvah. Yet, at the same time, line 20, hadimyon, the imagination, eino moshech l'mitzvos, it doesn't necessarily make us excited about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aval atainuk shebekdusha, that inner light, that inner complacency that we feel like we belong, this is what we're supposed to be doing, this is who we are, that's Kedusha Ta'anug Mamashiyu. That's a really meaningful experience. That resonates deeply within ourselves. And so that's the struggle that we're trying to navigate. He says on line 20, obviously if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't help us, we would never make it. But engaging in learning and Torah and in davening and asking Hashem for help, as he says in the last line, Ein kol ze avodah kala, it is not easy work. You see where it is on line 25? Ein kol ze avodah kala, it's not easy work. Aval al yedei esek haTorah, by being involved in learning Torah and living Torah and remembering the experience of Maamar Har Sinai and being self-aware of this struggle, that we have a choice of being trapped in the dimyonos that Hashem put in us, or being free from those dimyonos to clear a path for a seichel that is yashar, to try to find that inner place that is equanimity, that is balance, that's emes and sheker, that's who we really are and who we want to be. When we connect to that, natzliach be'ezras Hashem. We will continue to grow in being true to ourselves, to that inner seichel that is zach, and that is the shorish of our neshama. Have a great week.